Well, welcome to the second hour of the show, guys, and this is me, and I'm live. Sorry that my guest didn't show up the first hour there, but that was a good replay to listen to anyways on 5G. That's stuff we've got to talk about lots. Thanks for PR for putting this platform together for me to talk about, and we are a supported station, guys, so if you like what we're doing over here, please hit the donate button. Thanks to Annie at Shake and Wake for picking up the shows and simulcasting them on Shake and Wake Radio. One person I get a lot of requests to get back on my show, and I don't know why, but a lot of people are asking me to get Ron Stevens back on here. So I got in touch with his agent yesterday and made arrangements for Ron to join me today. It cost me a lot of money, so I hope you guys appreciate his appearance today. Ron, welcome to the show, bud.
Yeah, when I told my wife that I had to do a show at 5, she wasn't quite as happy. So that's why I'm moving over to Islam, because I don't think she can hurt me then.
I phoned Revenue Canada the other day, and I told them, listen, I want to denounce my Canadian citizenship, and I want to sign in as an illegal. Because if I come back into Canada as an illegal citizen, I'll get treated better than me in old stock. And they didn't think that was a great idea, and they didn't allow me to do that, Ron. But I'm going to try again. Maybe I'll make a false name.
I phoned the premier's office last week. Looking for Doug Ford's cell number, and I couldn't get it. I was a bit of an irritation. I thought these people served us. Guess not. But how are you keeping, anyways?
Bit of a rough day. My daughter's in the hospital. And,
oh, shit.
And then, you know, last night, of course, I got onto a radio show last night, and I know better than to drink coffee after 6 o'clock at night, but at 7:30 last night, I was still sipping coffee. Henceforth, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was taking pieces of duct tape and trying to close my eyelids. I know better than not to drink coffee at night, but I did that last night, and I didn't get the normal amount of sleep I have, so I'm not banging on all eight cylinders today, Ron. So I'm going
to... I got to bed at 3.
You're going to pick up the slack. No, you're going to pick up the slack today.
Just, but like I got to bed at 3.
5 of 8. At 3?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
in the morning.
I don't feel so bad then. I'm asleep by 9:30 at night, and it was 1 o'clock, and I was still trying to sleep last
really?
Night.
Really? You go to bed at 9:30?
Yeah, but I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, buddy. So my timeline.
Oh, okay. I'm
8 hours. I'm getting my 8 hours, but I don't
I haven't had
early in the morning. I do.
I'm trying to think when the last time I had 8 hours was, when I was 10, maybe.
If I don't get 8 hours, I can't function properly.
No, I usually go to bed about 2 in the morning.
But
1:30, 2 o'clock.
What's on your mind today, Ron?
What's on my mind today is just before we went on air and you mentioned the word pork chop, I got thinking we may have an industry here, a Canadian industry. And if this invasion continues, and I know that these folks, and they have an aversion to pork, I'm thinking... Because where you live, there's a lot of trees, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of lumber mills been shut down. And I'm thinking we could probably fire up a mill and start milling pork chop slingshots. And I think we could probably sell a hell of a pile of them.
You might be on something there, Ron.
Yeah. That maybe and bacon flags. But
the new Frisbee.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody that's listening to this is our idea. You guys can't copyright that. You heard it first here on The Big Puzzle with Ron and Barry. We've got the ideas, so don't touch it. Yeah, we could do something like that, Ron. We got to do something here pretty quick because Canada is becoming absolutely insane.
Well, it is. And you know, like I was telling people on my show today, you know, like stop looking for a hero, okay? You're it. You're the hero, okay? You're the problem. You're the solution. When you look in the mirror, that's it. That's the fix. Ain't nobody come save our butts except us.
And, yeah, there is no knight in shining armor coming over the horizon, buddy.
No, we're on the hit list. And you know, Barry, I probably said this to you before, but I talked to a Native woman, oh God, it's got to be probably 70 years ago now, up at a reserve. And I was so frustrated. I was just, it was like talking to people, like beating my head on a brick wall. And I talked to this Native woman, and I said, do you understand the plan for Whitey, meaning everybody that's not Native? And she just stood there so quietly. You know, Native people tend to be quiet. unless we're drinking. And she just nodded yes. And, you know, I said, how do you get it so easy in talking to Whitey, like beating my head on the wall? And she just very quietly said, simple. We lived through it. Now it's your turn. And she's absolutely correct. You know, the same corporation that destroyed the native culture, the native people, that put the native kids in the government schools to destroy their culture, to change the culture out, is the same corporation that is now attempting to run us over and park our asses in the cities, run us off the land, just like they run the natives off the land, and indoctrinate the children in the schools, the same as they did to the native people, to teach them Islam is the way of the future. So nothing's really changed. We're just having a repeat here. But we need to do, the native people got suckered by these treaties and crap. We need to, basically just stand up, say no and mean it, put an end to it. We can't allow this to continue, or we're not going to have this is our country. This is our home. Regardless of a corporation or not, this is our home. We built it. Everything on these lands we built. No government ever built anything. It was all done by the backbreaking labor of our forefathers. And we have a duty to protect our home. Unfortunately, like Zinsky said, it'd take 2.5-3 generations to turn people into muttonheads so we could do what they want with them, which is what we see today.
We're almost there, Ron.
So we have to straighten up the people. I'm really amazed, Barry. I took a shot at this international climate justice nonsense because there was a picture of Suzuki and his wife, and Suzuki's wife was a friend of Morris Strong's wife, and Suzuki was going out with her or something. And if it hadn't been for that situation at university in the States, nobody would ever heard of Suzuki. I mean, Strong, not a stupid guy. He knows somebody he can use, and let's go use Suzuki. I just put up some stuff there and explained a few things to people and waiting for the backlash. And I'm not getting any backlash anymore. I'm getting a hell of a pile of hits, and people seem to get it now that it's all.
They're starting to get it, Ron.
Well, 12 years ago when I first...
Well, we got to speed it up, man.
Well, this is the thing, but, you know, this is why we need to start putting posters out. You know, we need to start flyering cars, and we need to start putting posters on, in the laundromats, on hydro poles. We have to, because all of this stuff is being implemented at the local level, global to local. All of every single council in this country is implementing these agendas, bringing in Islam, and we got to shine the light on these. We got to hold their freaking feet to the fire. And the only way you can do it, and the ladies in Calgary hit it on the button when they were going to the council to try to get the fluoride out, it's isolated, okay, because nobody pays any attention to the local council. So they're being patronized at the council meetings and this and that, but they're not getting anywhere. And it finally dawned on them, we're being patronized, and nobody's hearing us because we're in this isolated council and nobody shows up at. So they went and they made flyers, and they put the pictures and the phone numbers of the council members on those, and they started plastering them on the bus stops and that, and explaining to people that they need to call these people at home, put their home phone numbers down, and tell them to stop poisoning the water. Well, once they started doing that, okay, the council's not hiding anymore. It's not isolated anymore. It's out in the open. And they ended up getting the fluoride out of the water in Calgary.
I heard they're going to bring it back now.
Well, they're going to try and bring it back.
They're going to try and bring it back now.
They're going to try and bring it back. But, fluoride, but fluoride is still a small thing. We have to hold these councils, we have to hold them to account. I mean, they are implementing these agendas without the people's knowledge, without their consent, right? And that's a breach of trust. And a breach of trust, by definition, is treason. Well, it's sad that we can't just allow them to continue without holding their feet to the fire.
Right. Well, it's sad that most people in Canada still aren't tuned in yet. Some are, some aren't. But it seems like more people are concerned about who's winning the hockey game than what's going on inside their country. We've got to fix that, man. We do.
Well, we do.
No life consequences at all to who's going to win the Stanley Cup. Who really cares? And what difference is that going to make in your life? None at all. And getting back to fluoride, Ron, one of the things that we're going after the council again here one more time on a legal stance, because Health Canada, and I went to their website and I talked to two people at Health Canada and I got to the bottom of it, that when fluoride is added to our water, it's considered to be a medicine because you're treating the disease of tooth decay. So by adding it to your water, they're classifying it as a medicine, and that way they are actually forced medicating the public against their will. What contravenes, I forget what sections of the Nuremberg trials, the Geneva Convention, then, or Charter of Rights and Freedom.
I think they used that in Calgary too when they got the fluoride. Yeah, they had a doctor there that I think brought that up.
And if
that
had been for the Dr. Ball.
Yeah, it was a doctor. Was it? Is that his name?
He
really put it to the council.
You can't do it.
It's against the law.
It is. They're breaking the law. They're forced medicating the public.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to do that in our world, but they are. They're doing it right now, and they're getting away from it because they're not getting away with it because they're not being called out. But if you're calling out on it, Ron, I think we can get it stopped here in Ontario. That's the route we're going now, because talking to council about the effects and benefits, blah, 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 you're talking to a stone wall because they're mandated to follow an agenda, and that's what they're going to do. They're just an arm of the government.
Right.
Unless we can address it legally, nothing will get done.
But you're calling them out. You're holding their feet to the fire, right? And that's what we have to do.
We have to do that.
You know,
if you give them an inch, there's an old saying, Ron, give people an inch, they're going to take a mile. And your fluoride is just a small issue, but it's not. It's a big issue because it's all part of the same agenda that's being played out. You give them an inch, like I said, they're going to take a mile.
Well, you know, the legal weed is part of the agenda. You know, they want to dumb people down as bad as they can, as fast as they can. They don't want people standing up. Here's some cheap weed or whatever. Here in Ontario, which they've never had before, they're going to put the booze in all the corner stores now. They just want to mess the people up, and then they want to make them more dependent, and then that's when they're going to bring in that guaranteed or basic income, whatever they want to call it, so that you don't have to work, so you can just be stupid. And we'll look after your housing and so on and so forth. And while we're doing that and you're sitting there smoking your weed and drinking your beer, you're going to wake up one morning in an Islamic country. It's very difficult. I don't know what the work people are like out in Terrace, but, I got to start another construction company, I guess. Years ago, I'd ask around, anybody's looking for some work, and oh yeah, I got a friend, I got a nephew, whatever. It was an opportunity. Now, I talk to people and they go, well, nobody wants to work. Well, how the hell are we going to, I talked to a couple of guys that are a little bit older than me. They're going to retire soon. They're still working though. And when I did a commercial building, I says, who the hell's who's going to build anything when we're gone?
Yeah,
you said nobody.
Lazy, no good young people, because they don't know what it's like to work, Ron. You and me grew up in a world where we had to work. We didn't have a choice. Now they are stuck in a viral world. Well, yeah, that's how we develop all our skills in life skills. And young people don't have that. You ask them to start a fire in the bush, and they would never be able to do that. Well, I got three or four ways that I can start a fire in the bush.
It's funny you bring that up. I taught my nephews to canoe and fish and build a fire and all this stuff when they were young and he was, I don't know, he was about 10 or something. And my kind of half nephew was like 30 or something, went out and was trying to start a fire with gasoline and a log and stuff. And my little nephew just went over to him. He says, here, let me show you how to do that. Right. Made up some kindling and put in the teepee shape and one match. Right. I told him, you only need one match ever if you're doing this right. And he lit the match and he started it and stood back with the biggest grin on his face because he learned something. Right. you know, when you learn things, you feel better about yourself. But the people today, I mean, it's Zombieville.
Yeah, it is, Ron. It's sad to see, man.
And we got to
go ahead.
No, no, we just got to get a hold of the young people. I mean, I don't know what your channel's like, but, you know, I think the average age on my Facebooks and that is probably, I would think, 55 and up, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's hard to reach the millennials, buddy. It really is, because they're so indoctrinated. Even now, they're so indoctrinated.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the best thing to take in the bush to start a fire, if you want to be real simple, is just a bag of cheesies, Ron. And, boy, you've got the best fire starter in the world, guys, bar none. I know that's cheating, but you can start a fire in wet bush with a bag of cheesies. So always make sure you have your cheesies with you. And then you want to eat them after you see the way they burn. Boy, I did that in front of somebody one day, and they went, whoa, I don't want to eat that. It looks like melting plastic.
Well, that's what it is, guys. But see, I don't. You're up in the bush area. I don't understand this. You know, like when we were, I don't remember. We weren't very old. I mean, we were busy from the time I can remember, building stuff and fixing stuff, and you know, we would go out and build our own ski runs and build our. We'd go out in the fall and build our ski runs and build our ski jumps. And get it all laid out so when the snow fell, we had a really good run going. We didn't ask anybody to fix anything for us or do anything, right? Well, we were told when we were young, you get one fishing pole, one bicycle, one set of skis, you bust them, you fix them, or you go get a job and buy some new ones. Mm-hmm. We were busy as hell all the time, you know, playing sports, and we were just busy.
And we were always trying to get in trouble.
Well, we weren't trying to get in trouble.
We were bad kids in the neighborhood, man. We were. Me and Larry Castle, we were always getting...
It happened.
Thing to do, you know? Chase the girls. Go get some snakes. Put them in the girls' bed.
Oh, yeah. That was always fun.
Whatever we could do to cause trouble, we were doing it.
I was always getting labeled as a ringleader, and I'm going, what is a ringleader? I said, we're just out having fun. We ain't bothering anybody, right? But that was that false authority crap, which we're still under today.
I remember growing up, man, my parents couldn't find me at night. They'd have to come out and look for me because I would be down the street or I'd be over in the next block. But back then, they didn't have to worry about it because they could call their neighbors down the street. Every neighbor knew everybody in the neighborhood. We don't have that kind of connection.
That's the whole thing. I was talking about that on the show today, actually, a little bit.
It's a big issue, Ron.
And when I look from when I was young to today... The difference is amazing.
Yeah, we knew people's names. My parents knew people's names two blocks over. They knew everybody in our neighborhood. And if they wanted to find me at night, they'd make some phone calls. They'd call one block over this way, one block over there, or send Barry home. They didn't have to worry about me. I was just out being a kid. And today that's been taken away. You're not even allowed to do that anymore. I remember
the cops picked me up one time when I was about 12 or something. I left in the morning. I went swimming. And it was nighttime when I was coming back, and the cops pulled me over and asked me if I was who I was. And I said, yeah, what's wrong? Well, your mother's worried sick about you. Why? I was just swimming. But you left in the morning. Yeah, I like swimming. Right? <You know? laughs> What's the problem? Right?
I didn't have my cell phone on me. Oh, sorry, I didn't have a cell phone back then.
God, I don't ever want to own one of them damn things. But you know, it's a bugger because we have this group of people now who are not integrating, have no intentions of integrating. We're going to they're going to integrate us into their society, which is ass backwards. I don't want to go there. So we have to do something about it. And the only thing I can see, there's the two things, because it's obvious that if we don't go get control of the local councils, the immigrants will. And, I mean, that is an Achilles heel as far as the governments are concerned, because it's the only place that you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of anything to run at a local council for a local council. But the Canadians just, I don't want to do that. Well, you don't do that. It's going to fill up with the very people that are coming after your butt. And then what, right? They're the ones that, whoever
holds. Up in Fort McMurray right now, Ron. Why don't we talk about that for a minute? I mean, they're turning it into Muslimville. They're building the biggest mosque in Canada, one of the biggest ones in North America.
Somebody
Fort McMurray, where it burned out 2 years ago. Isn't that convenient? Or 3 years
wasn't
ago.
Wasn't that convenient, yeah.
Isn't that convenient? You know, they have a big fire wipe out the town, all of a sudden they've got 10,000 Muslims in Fort McMurray now. 10,000.
Now, you think about that. Muslims come from pretty warm areas. Now, what the hell would entice a bunch of people that live in warm areas to move to Fort McMurray?
Because it's an agenda, Ron.
Right.
You know that. I know that. But don't try and sell that to a Canadian. They'll call you a nutcase.
Well, no, actually, I put up a post today, and I was waiting to really get hammered, and only had one or two people call me a racist or whatever, of which I'm not, by the way. But I'm just a realist, and the most of the stuff that is coming, and I'm getting just to comments is just going haywire. These people seem to get it. They seem to understand what the fire was about. They seem to understand, you know that the Saudis are paying for the mosque, and the Ayman was born here apparently and ended up in Saudi, and they put their deal together. Mm-hmm. And came over here. But when you have 10,000, 12% of the population, and they breed like bunny rabbits, in Fort McMurray, we got a problem, you know.
3,000 of them in Brooks, Alberta now, out of a population of 13,000.
Yeah.
Major shift in culture in that town. You can't go out in the street and you can't talk to people anymore because they don't speak English. I mean, this is an absolute direct attempt to undermine our culture. And that's what we see going on right now, Ron. We're being replaced.
Well, we have to change that. I mean, it's that simple. I mean,
get Canadians that get to the point where they want to do something about them. They're such apathetic people. It's like I talk to people about stuff like this, and it's like some of them, you're just talking to a deaf wall. They don't want to hear that. They just don't want to pay any attention to that. I don't know why that is. Because we're in a society of fear, Ron. People don't want to talk about it.
You know, fear. What do you fear?
Fear is their biggest weapon, Ron. I mean, M103 has gone through the third reading in Parliament now. And if they pass that into law, we'll be able to be charged criminally just for talking against Islam. Islam isn't a race. Islam is a cult. It's a religion.
Exactly.
It's not a race.
Well, it's actually a satanic cult.
It's a very, very satanic cult. I've studied the 1,400-year history of Islam, and I know how they were stopped at the gates of Vienna. I know how they were used in the Second World War. I know how they're being used now to undermine Western culture.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's all hand in hand. Look at the Pope just signed an agreement with one of the biggest imams in the world, and they have stated openly that the Quran and the Bible are basically saying the exact same thing. Well, what a slap in the face for Christians worldwide.
Well, but see, that's why we got to
play a role.
I wish we could find somebody like Luther. You know, when I look at that, it just boggles the mind. You know, here's a guy, and I think what happened with Luther, right, back in the 1500s, this guy started out studying law. He was going to be a lawyer. And somewhere along the line, a button must have went off in his head or a light went off and says, wait a minute, this ain't right. Woe unto you lawyers. And then he went and became a monk. And then he went to Rome. And when he got to Rome, it was Babylon, which is the same thing we got today here. But he didn't have any fear. He called it out for what it was, right? The Pope and the Catholic Church are Antichrist.
Fits the rule perfectly.
Okay, and our legal system, if you overlay our legal system on top of Roman slave law, you got the same damn system. It's identical.
Identical. I know that.
Okay, so all roads lead to Rome. Luther goes in there in the 1500s. He calls them out. Then, Gutenberg had the press, so they did exactly what we need to do. They started making flyers, and they put them things far and wide. And then the people go, wait a minute. Okay, so we don't have to do this. We don't have to follow this false authority. And so they call Luther into Rome, the tribunal or whatever. And people are scared to death that they're going to put him on a pole along the side of the road somewhere. And Luther didn't defend himself, you know. And I think that is another thing, a tool that we can use Luther, when he went to Rome, and everybody was scared to death what was going to happen to him, he didn't go to Rome to defend himself. All he said to the tribunal, he says, you proved these scriptures wrong. And they couldn't do it. Okay? And we need to get back on the right road. But our forefathers that came here, they came here knowing who the foxes, weasels, and the snakes were, the lawyers, the Catholics, and the Jews. And they did everything in their power to keep them out of their new home, which was here. And but over generations, with the old crossroads benefits bull crap, people, you know, they give in to the benefits and sign here, and they got our house again. And this is the result. This is what we see. So, yeah, I know to have the poop there signing agreements with the IMA. Give me a freaking break.
No kidding, man. No kidding. You know? that's sending shock. There's a battle going on inside the Catholic Church right now. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, the Catholic Church was taken over by the Jesuits in the 17th century, Ron. And the current Pope is, what, a 33-degree high-level Freemason, I believe. And if you look into his history and his background in Argentina, and now this guy is the Pope, boy, oh boy, you really got to look into what this guy represents.
Think about it. Think about it. John A. Macdonald, the founder of Canada, was what? A lawyer and a Freemason.
Duh. And so we find ourselves where we are today in this great democracy. So. We're free, Ron. We're free. Yeah, we're free to go to work and pay our taxes and shut up.
Well, we got to kill the legal system. I mean, our forefathers understood it. Shakespeare also in the 1500s. What did he say? First, kill all the lawyers. And back in the 1200s, under King John, when the lawyers were screwing them over, the people then weren't stuck with their cell phones and that. They could figure out what the hell was going on, and they decided they were going to go kill the damn lawyers and the judges because they were phony. They were phony authorities, and they were enslaving the people, and they went and killed a bunch of them, and they got John to sign the Magna Carta, which is another phony thing that never had any power, held up in front of our faces as this great document. Well, wait a minute. When the lawyers that didn't get killed came back and they talked to John and they said, like, we got to go get those SOBs. He says, I can't sign an agreement. Let's see it. They looked at it, said null and void because you signed it under duress. And then I can't remember which pope it was, Innocent maybe, also voided it. Okay, so if the Pope's voiding this agreement and he's in Rome and this is in England, you see what kind of reach that Rome had. So we got to, I don't know, maybe we should make a new board game or something. I don't know. Right?
Or video game.
Or something so that people understand the history. The people have no sense of history whatsoever.
Well, history has been taken away from us, Ron. They've deliberately quashing history. It's not taught anymore in school. Real history is not taught anymore.
Well,
I mean, history always repeats itself, so they don't want people to understand history.
Well, it repeats itself because the same people are controlling it.
Because it works.
Well,
it's worked for them before. Why not keep on the same agenda? And they are.
But I think they're starting to get worried, right? You know, one of the depopulation program thing, It's I don't watch movies much anymore, but there was a show about the ants and the grasshoppers or something. I don't know what the hell it was called. But, the grasshopper or the ants got talking, like, why are we putting up with this crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, who are these guys?
There's more of us than them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and they're
and the
quite
grasshoppers
worried
were
about
getting worried.
That they want you, they want to dumb the people down because they're getting nervous. They want them dumb, and they want to get rid of as many as they can so they can hold on to their power. But, this is, whether people like to believe it or not, this is the Third World War. This is the final war, okay? There's no new land to go to. This is it. And either we win the war or we lose the war. And if we lose the war, it's our fault.
We cannot lose this one, Ron.
No, we're not going to lose this one.
We can't lose it. We just can't, because what's coming if we lose this, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Well, we saw some burkas down on the beach here last summer, and it just completely blew me away. I mean, I'm in a little town of 7,500 people on Lake Huron, and went down to the beach, and here's a bunch of burkas sitting there, and you go, what the hell are those doing here, right? And it looks really stupid. But no, we I don't even like that, you know. I don't want to be an Allah follower.
Not in my lifetime, Ron. I'll be dead before that happens to me. But we see it coming so hard in our society. We see it in our governments. We see it in our councils. We're seeing this agenda being pushed so hard now by a very, very small group of people being supported by our government.
Yeah.
And if people can wake up to the fact that our government is our enemy, that the Canadian government is doing nothing for you, that they never will, that they it's just not
never
in the
did.
Program. Never did, and they never will. Until people can wake up to that, I don't know, Ron. I really don't. The information is so out there now, so obvious, that really if a person was to take a look at some of the things that our prime minister has done here in the last 3 years, you would ask yourself, why isn't this man in jail? Where are the police forces in Canada? What's happened to the RCMP? Well, they're just an extension of the government. And if people don't get on to that...
Well, they all take their oath to the same people.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact that Justin Trudeau has blatantly broke criminal laws in Canada and nothing is being done.
Well,
the fact that five attorney generals requested the RCMP to launch an investigation into SNC-Lavalin, Ron, but nothing has come from the RCMP yet.
Well, why? I mean, Mulroney was a criminal. Krejci was a criminal. Martin's a criminal.
That. I know that. They're all
you know, so.
And they're all playing the same agenda. And they're all loyal to the same entity. You know that, and I know that. But to get Canadians to realize that.
Well, so the upside, upside of Trudeau, there is an upside to Trudeau.
He's waking a lot of people.
Exactly. Exactly. They're pushing. They're pushing hard now, right?
Well, things will wait till the with General Norman, Ron. That's all. You know Leslie Adams. Hope I got that name. Leslie Andrews, the Liberal MP, is going to testify against Trudeau and his cronies this week coming up in court on behalf of General Norman. This is going to be bigger than SNC-Lavalin, and that's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. That's all going to come forward. The Canadians are going to go, another scandal. When does it stop?
I've been kind of actually waiting for this for decades. They've been doing things so slow and incrementally and under the tape, under the radar, people never noticed it. And I said, at some point, they're going to have to start pushing hard to try to try to get this done. And, so with all this nonsense is going on, it's a bonus really, because people are really scratching their heads now. What the hell is going on? Why are we sending all this money all over the world when we have homeless people and hungry people and seniors can't live in their homes anymore because the cost of everything's gone through the ceiling, which wasn't supposed to.
Why are illegals being put up in 3-star hotels in Toronto? They walk into Canada. They're put up in a 3-star hotel, get 3 square meals a day, get free medical and dental the moment they set foot in Canada illegally. And we have veterans fighting for benefits in court. We have Canadians that are sleeping on the street and freezing to death. What is going on, folks?
And I think that is
the same thing's going on everywhere, Ron. Same thing's going on everywhere. It doesn't matter where you look, the same agenda.
Yeah.
Slightly different.
There's homeless camps all over the place, and I don't ever remember seeing that.
We have a large now in terrorists, Ron. I've never seen that before. We've got a group of people now camped down by the Skeena River, just across the bridge, and it's like a field. And that field is full of tents now. It's homeless people in terrorists.
Seriously.
Because what's happened here is this LNG project is going ahead in Kitimat. We have 5,000 construction workers coming into one camp in Kitimat, 2,500 construction workers coming to another camp just 20 miles out of town here. You cannot find a rental property in Terrace, and the people that are renting them, the rents have gone from $1,200 for a house to $3,500 for a house.
What?
Because they can get it, Ron. The people that are coming in to work on the LNG are paying $3,000 to $3,500 for a house now in Terrace. So normal people are ending up on the street. And
they're being driven out.
We're being driven out.
Well, the same thing's going to happen here.
Two people working on minimum wage cannot afford a house at
$3,000. No, they can't. They can't.
But these construction workers are making $38, $40 bucks an hour, getting their overtimes, living high on the hog, making $7,000 or $9,000 a month take home. So two of them get together, and it's like $1,500 bucks a month for a house. No big deal.
No.
But it's really displaced the local population. I put up a sign in front of the homeless camp. I put up a big white sign on a tree so you can see it when you're driving up to the camp. And it says on top of that sign, LNG homeless camp. Welcome to Terrace. And it's been sitting there now 2 weeks. Yeah, the sign's been sitting there for 2 weeks. If you drive by there, can let that sink in on them, what's going on in my town.
Well, our town's going to be the same here because we have the Bruce Nuclear Power Plant, which is the biggest or the second biggest in the world. And they're going to do a 20-year project here. And because of the development border zones around everything, you can't develop where you want to develop. So there's no lots. The lots are atrocious prices. And there's no real housing going up here for all these people that are going to come in to do these houses. So the rents are going to go through the freaking ceiling, just like out there. And we're going to have people living on the street, a little town of 7,500 people, because there's no freaking way that they can afford the rent. You can't do it on minimum wage, right?
So they're doing a big remodeling on the Bruce Nuclear Power Plant? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a 20-year project.
Where's the sanity in that? We've got to get rid of nuclear power, not fix it, Ron.
Well, they want it. The thing that really bothers me is that they want to put the DGR here, the deep whatever repository or whatever. They want to bury nuclear waste on the shore of Lake Huron.
Right, in the Canadian Shield.
No. This is all shale. I worked on the nuclear plant when they were building it, and we blew the intakes. It's all shale. They want to go down, but it's funny. The one who approved it is our lieutenant governor, who took over after Morris Strong. What the hell were they involved in? But anyways, she's a globalist. She's a UN player. She was with the UN, and she's the one that was in charge of nuclear waste. And now she's a lieutenant governor, and I think they're just really close to approving this, which nobody on this lake Lake Huron runs into all the other lakes. Doesn't want this approved, but then they don't want you. They want to drive everybody into the city, right? So, how do we end up with a lieutenant governor of Ontario who's a UN globalist? How the hell's that happen? And it was the conservative Harper who appointed her. And people go, oh, he wouldn't do something like that. Well, he did, right? You know, these people with this right-left nonsense has got to get that straightened out.
It's been going on for 100 years now, Ron. Left, right. Two parties to pick from in Canada. And people think they have democracy. You don't have democracy. Well, you do for every 4 years for 9 hours. You get to make a choice. That's it. The rest of the time, shut up, because we're going to do whatever we want to do, and nothing you're going to say is going to change it, man.
Well, the thing is, people know nothing about the political system. They don't want to know anything about the political system. I used to survey people at the voting places, you know, ask them, what party you're voting for, and some would say and some wouldn't. And I asked them, you know, why are you voting for this particular party? Well, our family's always voted for this party.
Uh-huh. Yeah, my dad did, and my then mom I would lived, ask, so I am.
Then I would ask them what the issues are. The what? The issues. I don't know nothing about no issues. We always vote this way, you know? So the idea that I always thought, you know, years ago I said there ought to be a test that you can't vote unless you know something, right?
Or you have an IQ of at least 64.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, if you're just like the cattle, you know, they look the same as the people going to check their lottery tickets. You know, they wander into the voting areas.
Hi, George. Hi, Harvey. Good day. Yeah. Who are you voting for, Harvey?
You know, they don't have a clue. And so they did that to the people. They made the people. See, what they did was they got the people to believe that the government was their benefactor and the government would look after everything for them. And that just stupefied the people and made them docile. And this is where we are today, you know. And it's very, you know, it's very disturbing. But on the upside, people are waking. I'm talking to more young people all the time who don't trust their teachers, who don't believe their teachers. That's a good sign. You know, you gotta hold them. I think this propaganda bullcrap's been going on so long that people, even as stupid as they may be, are starting to say, what the hell's actually going on here? Like you said, how is it these people walk across the border and get all these goodies, and we've been here forever, and we're struggling like this?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Why are we being treated as second-class citizens in our
country?
It just doesn't make any sense at all. Well, it does make a lot of sense if you're trying to destabilize the society. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you see it everywhere, Ron. It's just absolute insanity. It is. And like you said, if we don't wake up to this, we don't get the millennials involved in large numbers here. And I do see some of them now, actually. I talk to young people, and I'm into the name Trudeau, and immediately I'll get a very, very negative response for them. So they are starting to pay attention. But getting them involved, getting them doing something will actually make a difference. I think what we really got to do, come up with something that will get them involved in a large scale. Because they have so much propaganda being driven into their heads from the other direction. All this climate change. They're being told that the Earth is going to end in 12 years if we don't make catastrophic changes in society. And they're being sold this idea, and they're buying into it because they're not hearing the other side of the story. Well, we're not allowed to give them the other side of the story.
Well, I think if...
It's being stifled. It's being stifled greatly, the other side of the story.
I think if the youth could understand that, you know, if they could come to grips with the idea that this is the second largest country on the planet and we are the richest country on the planet, resources per capita, nobody can compare to our richness here, we have, you know, the mountains, we have the Great Lakes, we've got the oceans. I mean, we have everything.
Oh, Ron, so why are we the most indebted people in the world right now?
Exactly.
Why is that, folks? We should all be getting a check every month from the government, not paying taxes. Our wealth is so vast in this country, but you don't get any of that. You get your shares, you get your meager little work permit, you get your little dollar per hour value that they put on you to go to work and support big, big corporations that are raping our country. Our country's been sold out to China. We do no longer have any control. Really, Ron, we're almost at that point where we're not controlling Canada anymore. It's been controlled by China and the international banking cartels.
We got to cut it all loose, right? Kick the bankers out.
Get people to understand that if we don't, Ron, then the future is very, very bleak. But to get the people to really say, you know, look in the mirror, guys. What does it take to go on the internet and really start looking at some of this information? Then ask yourself, what are the implications for my children? And they're not good. And if that doesn't get people involved, Ron, I don't know what to say. Maybe until the blue boys are knocking on the door.
Well, when I was on yesterday about the international climate justice, I told people, I said, you know, there's a book out there called Cloak of Green that was written in the 90s. And everyone needs to read the book. Right, because Elaine DeWar outed this beautifully.
Right,
she's got Maurice Strong in there, and Elizabeth May, and Suzuki, and all the rest of them. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts that this is a scam. Now, if you read the book and you have your children read the book, okay, get your child to read the book that's in school, because that's going to make your kid scratch his head or her head and go, wait a minute here. Now, then, what we need to do is we need to send the books. That particular book, because it's all about environment. That was the main mechanism that came out in 1950 with Paul Warburg. We need a mechanism that is global, right?
Yeah.
So we need a problem that we can sell globally, which was the environment. Now, if we were to send that book, and there is a PDF on the file, and I do have a link to an online book on my blog, Canadian Truths, .wordpress.com. And if people read the book and had their children read the book, and then we sent the book to the teachers, to the school boards, to the mayors, because most mayors don't know squat either. Most teachers don't know squat. They're just going along to get along, right?
What book is that, Ron? I just had a
question. It's called Cloak of Green by Elaine DeWar, and it's amazing because she was asked by Saturday Night Magazine to go do a little story on this thing with some guy from the Amazon jungle in Suzuki in May. And so she thought, oh, all right, I'll go do it. And when she got there, she's one of those amazing people like George Hunt, who did his videos, see something ain't right here. Why is this the way this is? Why are these people here? So she was intelligent enough to say something don't savvy here. So that 15-minute piece she was supposed to do for Saturday Night Magazine turned into a 4-year investigative deal. And it culminated at Rio in 70 or in 92. And I think the book came out in 94 or something. And it just exposes the snot out of everything. The money being sent out of the country through CETA, Maurice Strong, and so on and so forth. If you read the book, then you're going to say, okay, this is all a fraud. And there's also an IPCC guy in there who they don't like to talk about much. and the guy who is also, I forgot his name is now, I had him I was on a couple of radio shows with him, mainstream radio shows, who was the head of the CANWIA, the Canadian Wind Association, which was a perfect name, which, you know, CANWIA, can we sucker these people believe into these windmills are actually useful? called him out on some public radio. I had a host there that went, man, you can't say shit like to this guy, watch me. But he was the head of Pembina Institute, who was writing papers with Suzuki, basically rewriting UN documents to feed to the Canadian people. So the book is really, really got a lot of information in it, and everyone should read it, and then make sure your children read it, because once your children read that book, they're going to look at the teachers and go, hey, have you read
wait
this?
A second. Wait
have
a
you
second,
read this?
Teacher.
Read this.
Yeah, wait a second. I don't agree with what you're saying there. I've got some information here I want you to look at.
Right, but if
that's
the children.
What we need.
Right, if the children don't have
one
any.
Side of the story, right? If they're only being indoctrinated one way, they'll never have
right,
the
right. So they have to get the other side of the story. And once they get the other side of the story, they're going to look at their teachers and going, do you really know what the hell you're talking about? Because according to this, it's a complete and total fraud, right? And Elaine DeWar was a reporter from McLean's magazine, and somebody just asked her to do a story for Saturday Night. But no, it's an amazing book. It really truly is. It outs pretty much everything as far as environment goes.
Well, I'm going to have to read that myself.
So,
I know the schools won't let your kids read it, guys. So I think it'd be up to you to make sure your children get a copy of this and read it.
Well, there is a PDF I saw yesterday when I was rooting around because somebody was saying something about this international thing. Somebody put a copy of the cover of Cloak of Green in the comment section from Amazon, but I don't even think Amazon has any copies of it. There may be a copy at your library. I got one copy at a library years and years and years ago, but apparently it's getting very difficult to get your hands on. So I have a link to the online book on my blog, CanadianTruths.wordpress.com. But when I was rooting around, I also saw a PDF. I didn't go look at it, but I saw a link to a PDF book, which can
was
be downloaded
an audio file?
And read. Huh?
Is that an audio, you mean?
No, a PDF, right? Just a printed copy of the book. That book and people agreed in the chat when I said, you know, here's a link to online book and the kids need to read this or the children do. And then it needs to go to the teachers and the mayors to show them that this is what they're involved in. It's a crock of nonsense. Because if you don't have something to, you know, back up what you're talking about, and this lady spent 4 freaking years traveling around the world with these people and outed them severely. Read the book. It's well worth the read, and it's worth putting out there.
Have you looked into the solar minimum that a lot of scientists are talking about, Ron, enough to be able to voice an opinion on it?
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons they're pushing hard right now. is that the soul, they knew when they came out with climate, with global warming, man-caused global warming, which was called at first. And back in the 80s when I had a construction company going, I mean, we were shutting jobs down before, by noon, people were getting sick. It was so freaking hot. Right. And they understand that, see, knowledge is power. And they understood the solar minimum maximum. They also understood the deep ocean currents. And these two things coincided.
Exactly.
Okay. And yep. Of course it heated up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we didn't cause it. And they also know the solar minimum. Okay.
And it's what here. I understand is we're heading
it's
in that
here.
Direction
it's coming.
Right now. Yeah.
And so they're
I've been looking at that a lot, Ron.
Yeah, but their global warming thing is gonna bite
the
dust.
It's gonna blow up the window.
Man. So they're pushing like hell right now to get everything in place before their jig's up. So we're gonna win this. And it's gonna be glorious. But we got a lot of work to do, you know. We have a lot of work to do. I have people that are depressed and people who, you know, well, I'm old now. Well, you're still breathing. If you're still breathing and you're still thinking, then you better start talking, right?
Exactly.
You got no excuse. There's no excuses for anybody to say, well, I'm scared. Well, then you're useless, okay?
I'm not going to worry about this. My kids will take care of it.
Yeah, right.
The hell with you, buddy. I had one guy say that to me one day in the coffee shop, and put it up into him, Ron, right in front of everybody. I blasted him, and maybe I shouldn't have, but I couldn't help it, my friend.
Yeah, like these people say, well, I'll be dead and gone.
My kid will look after it. Yeah, I don't have to worry. I'm going to be gone soon.
Say, Barry.
I'm going to be gone soon. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Ron. Yeah, Steve.
Can I add something before you leave?
That's not the attitude of our
You can ask the question you want. Yes, you can ask the question.
Well, it's just something I want to add. I've heard Alex Jones say twice, and take Alex Jones for a grain of salt or how far you want to throw him. Take him how you will, but he has said twice on his shows, and I haven't listened to him for years and years, but he said, I've always wondered what I would tell a grandchild or a great-grandchild or something if they asked me the question, Grandpa, what did you do to stop what we are trying to deal with right now?
Well, I didn't do anything because I'm a player and I make a lot of money at it.
Exactly.
You know, I actually called Alex Jones many years ago, maybe 12 years ago, and outed his ass right on the show. He's a dork. But what you're saying, Steve, is absolutely correct. Because what I tell people, I said, look, you got a duty, okay? And if you don't stand up to this shit, someday one of your offspring, be it a grandchild or great-grandchild, is going to come across some information, maybe the Cloak of Green or some other piece of information, to read it. And understand that the whole damn thing was a fraud and you didn't stand up to it. And they're going to stand over your grave and they're going to look at it and they're going to say, why the hell didn't you do something? Because now we're completely locked down and we can't move.
Absolutely, Ron. Absolutely.
So,
I don't want to be able to say to my kids, I'm going to be able to say to them that I've done everything that I can possibly do right now at this point to get people awake. And that's our civil duty. It's our responsibility right now because nothing is more important.
It is our duty as men and women to act like men and women and not spineless slugs. You know, I keep telling people, you know, our forefathers were strong of the spirit, mind, and spine. We have become weak in all three. Okay. Now we got to get those strong again and stand. And it's over. Simple as that.
And the show's just about overrun, believe it or not. Our hour is up. That went quick, didn't it?
Well...
I didn't even get into some of the things I wanted to talk today. Well, that's all good, though.
Well, no, I'm glad we did this because I'm going straight in. I have a design program. I'm going to design that pork chop slingshot.
And I'll sell it out here for you, buddy. No problem. I'll send them to Fort Mac, and I'll sell lots of them.
And now
Sidewalk vendor. Here I go.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a bag of Cheezies and rub them together and see if I can start a fire.
So you don't rub them together, but if you do get one on fire, I'll tell you, it burns as good as anything that you could possibly use for a fire starter, guys. So you don't need newspaper. You don't need kindling. Just take some Cheezies and you're good. But don't eat them, please.
No, I don't eat them because they They're not too good for you.
I would give that to my worst enemy.
There's, but,
fortunately,
but a lot of I got to thank you, Barry, and I got to thank Steve. You guys are a hoot. And, yeah, don't everybody get afraid of anything. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, there's the old saying in the good book that says, fear not. You know, we allowed ourselves to be deceived. Okay. That's how we ended up here. But we know now that we've been deceived and we got to turn it around. And the next thing is fear not. There's nothing to fear. Okay. We're all going to be on this planet till we're off the planet. While we're on the planet, we got a duty.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Well, Ron, thanks. Ron, always a blast to have you in, and we'll do this again very soon in the near future, I hope.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in today, buddy.
And Barry, have a great, great night, guys.
Okay, folks. Well, that's this week's show, and I want to thank PIR for providing the platform and Annie for simulcasting and Steve for producing my shows. Thanks for tuning in and listening today. It was a bit of a hogwash show, but next week will be better. Thanks for joining, guys, and have a great weekend. See you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now, and God bless you.